ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, verse number 36. Namo Namo Niruddhaya, Rishikeshindriyatmane, Namah Paramahamsaya, पूर्णायानुभृतात्मने नमो नमो निरुद्धाय ऋषिकेशेन्द्रियात्मने नमः परमहंसाय पूर्णायानुभृतात्मने नमो नमो निरुद्धाय ऋषिकेशेन्द्रियात्मने नमः परमहंसाय पूर्णायामृतात्मने। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। नमः ऑल माय ओबेसेंसेस अंटू यू। नमः ओबेसेंसेस अगेन Aniruddhaya, unto Lord Aniruddha, Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, Indriya Atmane, the director of the senses, Namaha, all obeisances unto you, Paramahamsaya, unto the Supreme Perfect, Purnaya, unto the Supreme Complete, Nibhrita Atmane, who is situated apart from the material creation. Translation. My Lord, as the Supreme Directing Deity known as Aniruddha, you are the master of the senses and the mind. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you again and again. You are known as Ananta, as well as Sankarsana, because of your ability to destroy the whole creation by the blazing fire from your mouth. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hrishikeshendriyatmane, the mind is the director of the senses, and the Lord Aniruddha is the director of the mind. In order to execute devotional service, one has to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Shiva prays to the controller of the mind, Lord Aniruddha, to be pleased to help him engage his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. The mind has to be engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord in order to execute devotional service. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From the Lord comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Thus, if Lord Aniruddha is pleased, he can help the mind engage in the service of the Lord. It is also indicated in this verse that the Lord Aniruddha is the sun god by virtue of his expansions. Since the predominating deity of the sun is an expansion of Lord Aniruddha, Lord Shiva also prays to the sun god in this verse. Lord Krishna, by his quadruple expansion, Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna and Aniruddha, is the lord of the psychic action, namely thinking, feeling and willing and acting. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha as the sun god, who is the controlling deity of the external material elements which constitute the construction of the material body. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the word Paramahamsa is also another name for the sun god. The sun god is addressed herein as Vibhuta Atmane, which indicates that he always maintains the various planets by manipulating the rainfall. The sun god evaporates water from the seas and oceans and then forms the water into cloud and distributes it over land. When there is sufficient rainfall, grains are produced and these grains maintain living entities in each and every planet. The sun god is also addressed herein as Purna or complete, because the rays emanating from the sun have no end. For millions and millions of years since the creation of the universe, the sun god has been supplying heat and light without diminution. The word Paramahamsa is applied to persons who are completely cleansed. When there is sufficient sunshine, the mind remains clear and transparent. In other words, the sun god helps the mind of the living entity to become situated on the platform of Paramahamsa. Thus, Lord Shiva prays to Aniruddha to be kind upon him so that his mind will always be in the perfect state of cleanliness and will be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Just as fire sterilizes all unclean things, the sun god also keeps everything sterilized, especially dirty things within the mind, thus enabling one to attain elevation to the platform of spiritual understanding. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rikunadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Galpa Tarubhyascha Kriba Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhuteir Mahadva Yehima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunansho Dasha Shoda Shatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. Here Lord Shiva is continuing his prayers to the different deities who are in charge of different material elements. Here the prayer is directed towards whom? Lord Aniruddha. Lord Aniruddha. And previously, who was he praying to? Pradyumna. Before that? Sankarshan. Before that? Vasudeva. That's right. So, Lord Shiva is systematically praying to different deities who are in charge of different material elements which are situated in us, in this body, or in other words, how the soul is covered by material elements, and the presiding deities of these elements are the prayerful objects of Lord Shiva. To start with, he prayed to Vasudev. Vasudev is the in charge of Chitta and the Karana, Chitta, the contaminated consciousness, and ultimately the Lord of the Soul as well. Similarly, the Lord of the false ego, Ahankar, is Sankarshan. So he prayed to Sankarshan. Then the Lord of the intelligence is Pradyumna. So Lord Shiva prayed to Pradyumna. And finally, he's praying to Aniruddha, who is the Lord of the mind. So we can see that Lord Shiva knows how we are entrapped in this material body through material elements, and he wants to fix mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So he's praying to all different departments, even within our body. So that's why we are coming to that final verse in terms of this four deities, that is prayer to Lord Aniruddha. So that is the context of this verse. And who are these four personalities? What is the name of them collectively? Do you know, any of the kids? Do you know the name of these four personalities collectively? Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha? Tell us. What are they known as? Okay, for the you know it. It's for the kids. Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha means quadruple expansion. Quadruple means four. Triple is three, quadruple is four, like that. So, the Lord, where Krishna resides, where does he reside? Goloka Vrindavan. And from Krishna, who comes? Lord Balaram. We had Balaram Purnima, right? So Krishna and Balaram are in the spiritual world in the Goloka Vrindavan. And from that, Balaram expands the first Chaturvyuha, or the first quadruple expansion. There, again, Sankarshana, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And where are they present? In the spiritual world, but where in the spiritual world? Now, the first quadruple expansion resides in Dwaraka. You can see them in Dwaraka. Because Krishna's son is Pradyumna, and his son is Aniruddha. In that way, they are residing in Dwaraka. So Dwaraka, Krishna get married, and his son, grandson, etc. So this is the first quadruple expansion. And from there, he expands from the Sankarshan in the spiritual world, expands into Lord Narayan. He's also in the Vaikuntha in the spiritual world. And from him comes the second quadruple expansion. Again, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So the second quadruple expansion, that is in the Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Loka is very amazing. Vaikuntha Loka is very amazing. And there is a structure to it. So first, in the center of the Vaikuntha Loka, there is Lakshmi and Narayan. And there are two principal queens to Lakshmi Devi, which is the Lord Narayan. Other than Lakshmi, they are Bhudevi and Neela Devi. So if you go to many of the temples, you can see along with Lakshmi Devi, there are two other consorts of the Lord, Bhudevi and Neela Devi. If you go to many temples, any, especially South Indian temples, you can see Bhudevi and Neela Devi. They are in the spiritual world, in the middle of the Vaikuntha planet. And there are principal associates along with the Lord in the right at the center of this Vaikuntha Loka. And from there, he expands into four quadruple expansion. So here, Vaikuntha Loka has many avaranas. Primarily, Vaikuntha Loka has seven avaranas. What's the meaning of avarana? Avarana means the shells or the coverings. So if you see, imagine some spherical object in the center, and there are avaranas, shells covering one to the other. We can see even in the material world, even this earth planet, we can see different strata, different kinds of atmosphere like avarana. Similarly, even in the spiritual sky in the Vaikuntha Loka, there are different avaranas. And in these avaranas, different expansions of the Lord reside. So the first avarana or the first shell is where the second chaturvyuha resides. So these four quadruple expansions are there, and they have their queens, they have their consorts. They are also in the first shell. And then after that, each of them expands into six more. So 4 into 6, 24, right? So that is the second avarana. 24 expansions of the Lord. You know, many times we, you know, Om Keshavaya Nama, Om Narayana Nama, Om Madhavaya Nama, Om Govindaya Nama, Om Vishnavaya Nama. We chant when we do Achaman, right? These are actually the residents of Vaikuntha present in the second avarana. So they are there along with their consorts. So that is the second avarana. So the Lord resides there. And then there is a third avarana. Tell me some of the incarnations of the Lord. Narasimha, Vamana, all Parashuram. Okay, this Bay Hayagriva. So all these different incarnations, they are residing in the third avarana or the third shell in the Vaikuntha Loka. So Vaikuntha Loka is very elaborate. And they have application. So for example, when we do puja, we have to establish the sitting place for the Lord. Then we need to draw how the exactly the spiritual world look like. We had to draw that. You know, a triangle, two triangles, and lotus petal. The spiritual world is like a lotus petal. So we had to draw all this thing and chant different mantra, write different mantras. Then we know we are establishing spiritual world in this material world. And then the Lord is there in the form of saligram or the deities. We invite them, they sit there. So what we speak, it has its application. And the fourth avarana, there are other associates of the Lord. Ananta, Durga, Vikshuksena, Ganesh. All these people are there in the fourth avarana, and these Ganesh or Durga, they are not Durga and Ganesh of this material world. They are spiritual Ganesh, the spiritual demigods. They constitute in the fourth avarana. So they are there in the spiritual world, but in the spiritual form, not material. And in the fifth avarana, all these different mantras, Dharma, Yajna, Gayatri, all of them personified, they are occupying the fifth avarana. And in the sixth avarana, the sixth covering, all different weapons and paraphernalia of the Lord. Shankha, then? Chakra, Gata, Padma, then sword, bow, all this, they are in the personification, they are present in the sixth avarana, sixth covering. And in the seventh covering, there are different deities, including heavenly deities like demigods, like main demigod Indra, Chandra, all of them, all the different demigods, they are residing in their spiritual form to enact the pastimes of the Lord in the seventh avarana. Like that, the spiritual world is very, very elaborate, very descriptive. If you go to South India, if you go to Sridangam temple, there are different wards. It's like a fort, one to another, and different gopurams. So the different gates, all different gates, these are actually representing the spiritual world. So in the ancient, you know, Sri Vaishnava tradition, when they construct the temple, they try to replicate Vaikuntha Loka here. So in the center, there is Lakshmi and Narayan, and you can see different demigods around. You can see different associates of the Lord. Vikshuksena definitely is there, is one of the principal associates in the right in the center, as well as a bit away in one of the last avarana, he's there. So similarly, we can see all different demigods, we can see different associates of the Lord, expansions, etc. in the temple. That's why these temples are very, very huge, and there are many deities, because spiritual world is like that. So it's just a part of it. So there are different directions, and there are different directions in which different expansions of the Lord are present. So everything they try to replicate in this material world. So this is spiritual world. And there is also, who is there? Aniruddha. Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. and Sankarshan expands as who for creation? No. Sankarshan expands as Mahavishnu. Have you heard about Mahavishnu? What's another name of Mahavishnu? No. Karnadakshaya Vishnu. Karnadakshaya Vishnu is Mahavishnu. So he is coming from Sankarshan in the Vaikuntha Loka. Then from Mahavishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, who comes? Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of? Yeah, that's true. But from the spiritual world? That is a normal answer, Krishna. But which expansion of Krishna? No, he is an expansion of Pradyumna. An expansion of Pradyumna. Then from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who comes? Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. He is an expansion of? Exactly, he is the expansion of Aniruddha. You got it right. So this is the spiritual world, and for the creation of the material world, they are expanding as Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. They are actually expansions of Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So that is the context. That is this Aniruddha, and he is the Lord of the mind, and that's why he is very important. Mind is very, very important. We can see here the term is used that you are the master of the senses and the mind, Aniruddha. And the purport itself starts with Hrishikesha Indriya Atmane. Hrishikesha Indriya Atmane. He is the Lord of Hrishikesha, he is the Lord of the senses, and he is the Lord of the mind. So mind is very significant in our existence. And as devotees, it is very important for us to identify the mind. It is very important to recognize the mind. If we cannot recognize the mind, we are in trouble. If we cannot recognize the activities of the mind, we are in trouble. So what is mind saying and what is Krishna saying? These two are different most of the time, because mind is uncontrolled. The mind is actually the sitting place for all the problems. All the problems, practically speaking. Mana evahi manishyanam karanam bandha moksheyo. Mana is the reason, karanam, bandha moksha, for liberation as well as entanglement. The sole reason is the mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, emano durmuti samsara vitore podiya achinum ami. He says, this wicked mind has brought me to this material world, and he is keeping me in this material world. Can you imagine the power of the mind? Mind can not just give trouble in this one lifetime, but mind can give trouble for millions of lifetimes. One lifetime after the next, after the next. It can give us all different kinds of species of life. Higher to the middle, to the lower. 8,400,000 species of life. It can give so many species of life and subspecies. Everything is based on the mind, and that's why mind has to be controlled. It is so important. We think the problem of material existence can be solved simply by curing some diseases. People invest so much of money for the health care, right? Billions of dollars. Cancer Institute, a few billion dollars. Yes, it may temporarily save something, but the real problem is, the real enemy is in the mind. And all the six enemies of mind are there. They are actually creating trouble. Do you know the six enemies of the mind? Do you know six enemies of the mind? Anyone? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Starting from lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, you know, all this. They are enemies of the mind. Everything is residing in the mind. So when mind is being attacked by these enemies, then we are helpless. Raghunath Das Goswami gives the example. The journey of a devotee, just like going in a highway. We are here in the material world, and we have our destination as a spiritual world, and we are meant to go in this express highway. chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, doing service, associating with the devotees, preaching, etc. Now, this is indeed an express highway, but in this express highway, there are robbers. They can pull you over and take everything away from you, can rob you, and you can be left with nothing. And these highway robbers are the enemies of the mind. The mind is engaged in Krishna service and trying to make progress, but all these highway robbers of the mind, Kama, Krodha, Mada, Moha, Matsarya, etc., they come and they attack. So we may have gained something in devotional service, but at one point, everything is lost and one can act exactly opposite. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava maha chino maha vatma vidyeham eva vairina. This enemy of the living entities, eternal enemy of the living entities, the lust, come attack. So this is very significant. We need to recognize that we have a mind, and the voices of the mind and that of the Lord are completely different. Some people say, I started to know that I have a mind after start chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. Can you see? Till now, it's everything one. It's me. Can you see that? Generally, when people think about it, it's all me. This body, the mind, self, everything is one. Because everything is just covered. But when you chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, one can distinguish between different elements. And here, see, Lord Shiva, he's on such an elevated platform, he's able to distinguish all different elements. Chitta, Ahankara, Buddhi and Mana. The consciousness, false ego, intelligence and mind. He's able to distinguish them and he's praying to the predominating deities of these material elements. So at least we should be able to distinguish mind. Otherwise we will be in super trouble. Because mind is leading us everywhere. Yeah, give me that, give me the other thing. Always. Do this, don't do that. Why do I have to do devotional service? It's such a hard time. It is cold. Why should I get up? You know, just unlimited material desires and unlimited impediments. And for a practitioner, Srimad Bhagavatam makes a very important point, and there is a very interesting verse. Arthehi avidyamanebi samsrita na vidyate dhayato Vishayanasya sopne anarthagamano yatha. He says, this is from the Uddhava Gita, the Lord himself says, for one who is meditating on sense gratification, okay? So, arthehi avidyamanepi. So, there is no really point thinking about sense gratification. There is no real point, but we do think about it because we are foolish. Actually speaking, because we have nothing to do with the senses, we have nothing to do with the mind, we have nothing to do with the sense objects. So, in reality, we have nothing to do with sense gratification. But, what we do? We will still dhyayato vishyan asya. We still meditate on sense object. Then it is said, as far as we are meditating on sense objects, as far as we are thinking about material enjoyment, we have to suffer. The material existence is intact. It's completely present as far as we are meditating on the sense objects. It's a very important point. So, Krishna gives the example, Swapne anarthagamano yatha. That is, in the sleep, sometimes we have nightmares, right? Just driving off, now we are falling off the cliff. We are just falling and we are completely scared, it's going to hit the rock bottom, we are going to die. And what would have happened? Maybe our hand would have been in the air and it's landed on the bed. Or our leg landed on the bed. That's it. But in the mind, we are really going through suffering. So this example is given to illustrate suffering in the material world. Because just because of the mind, we are suffering. It is just like a dream. Still, we are experiencing it because of the identification. We are experiencing it. But it's not real because it's not substantial. Because it's not, nothing is happening to the real soul. So, we have material existence as far as our mind is lingering in material objects. So, this is for a practitioner, it is very important to understand. Because it is insufficient that we externally engage in devotional service. Rather, we have to internalize devotional service. But that is coming to the platform of nishtha or steadiness. Steadiness means there is external steadiness and internal steadiness. External steadiness is easier to achieve. One may do one devotional service for 1 decade, 2 decades, etc. It's easier. We may chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra 1, 2, 3 decades. That is external, which is good. It's a good starting point. But the real steadiness means steadiness of the mind. That's why here there is prayer for the purification of the mind. Srila Prabhupada very succinctly presented Mahavakyas or great truths in short phrases. Right? For example, Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis. Books are the basis. It's a short phrase or a short sentence, but it's very deep. If you think about it, it's very deep. It's like a sutra, it's like a formula, but it's very deep. Books are the basis. What else? What are the other Mahavakyas we have? Preaching is the essence. Can you see? It is like a sutra, you know. It has everything. Preaching is the essence. All the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see. Yarade Kotareka Krishna Upadesh. You know, all these things are present in this one small sentence. Preaching is the essence. Then? Purity is the force. So important. So here, we are referring to it. Purity is the force. If you want to be impactful in this world, then we have to be pure. It is not a question of charismatic or very good oratorship. That is secondary. Primary is purity is the force. Purity can influence others. Purity can help ourselves in making spiritual progress. Then what is another one? Utility is the principle. Utility is the principle. This is like the whole Rupa Goswami's teachings are condensed in utility is the principle. Right? What is our principle? Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is a very high principle that is using everything in Krishna service, and Prabhupada succinctly presented as utility is the principle. So here, purity is the essence. Purity is the force. So we need to be pure means external purity and internal purity. Internal purity means purity of the mind. And that's why here there is a direct connection to it. One has to be pure. And here also, Aniruddha is also expanded further as the sun god Surya Narayan. And here he is addressed as Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means completely clean. Like a swan, completely clean. So he is the sun god. And also he is Nibhruta Atmane. Nibhruta Atmane means one who can maintain all the living entities. Because of the sun, we get heat, light, rain, etc. So all the planets are, all the living entities are maintained by the sun. So Aniruddha has connection to all of them. And that Aniruddha can purify our mind, sterilize any dirty place. Sun can sterilize any dirty place. Similarly, the Lord can actually purify us. In Isha Upanishad, the Lord is addressed in the similar context as Shuddham and Apapavidham. Shuddham, the most pure, and Apapavidham means prolifactic. So he can actually, he can purify, prolifactic, he can purify one from any other external contaminations. That is the Lord. So that is the quality of Aniruddha in his expanded forms. So here, Lord Shiva is praying to the Lord. Now, here it's also mentioned, Lord Krishna, by his quadruple expansion, is the Lord of psychic action, namely thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. See? Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Thinking. Thinking corresponds to the intelligence. Thinking. Any action that we perform, we can analyze based on these three. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So that is the function of the intelligence. Feeling is the function of the mind. So like that. And willing and acting, that is the cognitive aspect. It is the actual doing aspect of the mind. Okay, I'm just doing it. So these are different actions given because there are senses and the sense organs. You know, we have the sense organs, we know the sense organs. Similarly, there are senses around the mind. Here, everywhere it is mentioned that the mind is the director of the senses. So it is not just the sense organs which are external, but he is the Lord of the senses which are present within us in the subtle body. The eyes, the nose, the tongue, etc. All the senses are present in the subtle form in the subtle body, and the mind is the Lord of that. So they are actually centered around the mind. We can hear this in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So that is the director of the senses. So mind has to be engaged in Krishna service. So the question comes, how can we control the mind? Engaging the mind in Krishna service. That is one. Second is also neglecting the mind when there are material desires. Both are very important. Neglect is very important. When there are material desires, what we have to do? Neglect it, don't act on it. It's very important. And it is so important that if we control our mind, there is pleasure in controlling the mind because it is for the pleasure of the Lord. There is pain in controlling the mind. Have you noticed? There is pain in controlling the mind. The mind is telling, yeah, look at that, eat that, go there, go here, I want that. When the mind is demanding, and also mind says, you know, such and such person is very bad, I want to criticize him, I want to think bad about him or her. Right? The mind is forcing. So there is pain in controlling that mind, neglecting that and not doing that, there is pain in it. It is just like, say, hair. If you have hair, there is a lot of hair in the body. If you try to pull one hair out, isn't it painful? Very painful. That is one of the considered one of the great austerities. Some of the spiritual groups, they don't shave. They don't shave. The monks, they don't shave. You know, they don't shave with a blade or knife or whatever. You know how do they shave? Plucking the hairs out. So they say they can do any austerities, fasting for 7 days, 10 days, no problem. We can do that. But the greatest austerity is plucking the hair off. So they do that in the Jain groups, which is a perverted Vedic tradition, not the real Vedic tradition. Stuff. So sometimes when the mind is demanding things and we want to stop that, it is just like that. So painful as plucking a hair from our body. I really don't want to do it. I really want to follow my mind. Have you experienced that? Many times we don't pluck the hair, or in other words, we don't pluck those desires from the mind. We just go for it. Yeah? We give up. And we just follow the dictations of the mind. So in one sense, yes, controlling the mind is painful. But it can be a pleasureful experience. Do you know how? Understand that we are doing this to give pleasure to Krishna. We are doing this austerity of controlling the mind. First, it is for our own benefit. Second, it is to give pleasure to Krishna. Then Krishna actually reciprocates. So when we view this, when we view controlling of our own mind in the right context, our benefit and the pleasure of Krishna, naturally we become happy. So we can see, it's just like a relationship. In a relationship, people perform austerities. Burden of love. Right? People perform austerities in relationship. Similarly, we are in relationship. So, we had to perform austerity of controlling the mind. Vajo vegam manasa krodha vegam. Vajo vegam, starting from controlling the tongue. By having prasadam and, which is easier. But again, right amount of prasadam with the right consciousness, it's not so easy. Manasa krodha vegam. Then, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then one can control the mind. But one has to practice controlling the mind. Giving away for the mind, and you know, just we had to stop that. We had to curtail that. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, okay, we have to beat the mind with the broomstick and with the shoes. After waking up with the shoes, beat the mind with the shoes. And night before sleeping, broomstick. What does that mean? Really, do we have to get some shoes and beaters? Night, ask your mom for some broomstick. Okay, we'll beat the mind. Or beat each other. Is it going to work? It is easier to beat externally with the shoes or the broomstick. we may be able to tolerate, but still controlling the mind is even more difficult. So the point is, as we get up, mind doesn't want to be a devotee. Mind has some just sleeping, want to think about all different kinds of things. Even before sleeping, as we have gone through the whole day, all thoughts are coming to the mind. We don't want to think about Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, read Krishna book, spiritualize our mind before sleeping, after getting up. What do we do after getting up straight away? We pay obeisances to the spiritual master. So this is controlling the mind. Start from that. Take bath, come for Mangalarati. Then we are controlling the mind. That is actually beating with the shoes. Then mind changes. Does that happen? Go through the Mangalarati. As we chant, we can see there is a transformation, isn't it? Go through the Mangalarati, there is a whole difference, a whole different experience. So this is what we need. So in that way, we get pleasure by giving pleasure to Krishna. So the pain of controlling the mind becomes pleasure of controlling the mind. Especially when we can experience Krishna, especially when we see that we are making some spiritual progress, then we really want to do it. Even though apparently it's painful, still we want to do it. It's very important for our spiritual progress. As it is mentioned, why? Because Krishna's service is attractive. Any service to Krishna, after some time we start liking the service. Even the service we don't like it, after some time we start liking the services. And Krishna is attractive. You know, Krishna is Madan Mohan, is attractive. He can destroy Madan. Can you imagine? He can destroy Madan. Even Madan gets bewildered. The Cupid becomes completely bewildered by Krishna. We know the pastime, Narada Muni pastime. But the Madan becomes bewildered completely by Krishna. So Krishna is addressed as Madan Mohan, right? In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, when appeared in front of the gopis, he said, Manmadha Manmatha, Tasama Virabhuchavari Smayamana Mukham Bhojam, Pidambaradara Sargri Sakshat Manmadha Manmatha, in the 32nd chapter, verse 2. Tasam Avirabhuchavari, Krishna appeared in front of his dear devotees, gopis, Smayamana Mukham Bhojam, with a smiling face. His lotus face was very bright and he was smiling. Then Pidambarathara Sargri. Pidambarathara means he's wearing a yellow garment, and Sargri, Sark means the Vaijayanti Mala, the garland, and he was wearing that. And Sakshat, directly Manmatha Manmatha. Manmatha, what is the meaning of man? The mind. Manmatha means, what is Manmatha? Matha means churning. The literal meaning of Matha is churning, one who can bewilder the mind. The Cupid, when one is affected by lust, he can completely churn the mind, right? Bewilder the mind. And Krishna is Manmatha, Manmatha. Krishna is one who can bewilder the mind of the Manmatha. He can bewilder the mind of the Cupid. So he is addressed as Manmatha, Manmatha. One who can bewilder even Manmatha, Madan, or in other words, Madan Mohan. So by focusing on him, then there is hope. So Krishna's eyebrows are compared to what?
Bows.
Bows of the Cupid, not normal Cupid, transcendental Cupid. So Krishna is transcendental Cupid. So his eyes are like, his eyebrows are like the bows, and his, the arrows are like the, what are the arrows of Krishna?
Glance.
Exactly, the glance. Smeram bhangitraya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Bhangitraya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Side-long glances. Rupa Goswami says, have you heard this verse? Smeram bhangitraya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Vamshi nyasta adhara kisalayam ujjulam chandrakena. Govindakhyam haritanumiha keshi tirthopagante. Ma prakrishta tava yadisake bantu sanghesti rangaha. Rupa Goswami says, don't look at Krishna. Don't go and don't look at Krishna. Don't see the deity form of the Lord. Don't see him. Rupa Goswami says sarcastically. Why? Smeram, his smiling face, very attractive. Bhangitraya Parichita, his threefold bending form, is very attractive. Sachi Vistirna Drishtim. Sachi means sight long, you know, sight long glances. Vistirna is very broad. Start from the nose, the tip of the nose, all the way till the ears. Very long eyes. Sachi Vistirna Drishti Vamshi Nyasta Abhara Chisalayam. And he's playing upon the flute. Where? In Keshikhat. Govinda. Don't see him. Why? Because if you get attracted to Krishna, what will happen? Then you will lose interest in materialistic family life, friends, materialistic enjoyment. You will lose taste for everything. So Rupa Goswami says, please don't go and see him. If you want to maintain a materialistic lifestyle, don't come to the temple of Krishna. Don't come to ISKCON. Because in ISKCON, once you start coming to ISKCON, once you start associating with the devotees, then you will lose everything. It happens to us, right? Not interested in money, not interested in position, not interested in fame, sometimes with no bank balance. So life can turn into anything. So Rupa Goswami wants, don't look at Krishna. He can do anything.
Don't go to Yamuna.
Don't see Govinda. That's the point. So this is, so Krishna can take away everything. Krishna can take away all unwanted things from us. And he can give himself. That can be scary. In some sampradayas, when someone comes to the temple, they preach. You be in the varna. You do your occupational duties properly. Offer results to Krishna. Maintain a lifestyle such that after 50, one can surrender to Krishna. Vanaprastha. Complete surrender when Vanaprastha life comes. But in ISKCON, someone first time coming into the door, first come into the temple, they hear this kind of lectures. First itself they say, everything is useless. We start from, you know, the life is full of problems. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. We have this not the place. You go to the spiritual world. Right from the beginning. So, we are giving the complete understanding straight away. That's why Rupa Goswami says, be careful. Okay, stop here. See if there are any questions, comments. Yeah?
The
original Bhagavad Gita,
the original expansion of the Chaturvedi Bhagavad, the sons of Krishna, they have nothing to do with
the mind. They have nothing to do with the original Chaturvedi Bhagavad. They have nothing to do with the original Chaturvedi Bhagavad. Yeah, they are different. That is the second quadruple in the Vaikuntha. They are different. They are coming from Narayana. But Chaturviha is the, in when the Lord is residing, always Chaturviha is there. So, Krishna book, it's mentioned, Mataji is saying that the Krishna's son and grandson, Pradyumna, they don't have anything to do with Chaturviha as such. Yes, which is true. They don't have anything to do with the Chaturviha in the Vaikuntha Loka. But when the Lord is there, there is always Chaturviha. Dwaraka, Sankarshan is the Balaram, Vasudev is the Vasudev Krishna, his son Pradyumna Anartha. In that way they form a Chaturviha. But it has nothing to do with the Chaturviha from which all this Vishnus are coming and deal with the material world. There is no connection as such, no direct connection as such. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, then there is a Chaturviha. So wherever the Lord is there, there is a Chaturviha. But they don't have any functional role as such. The functional role is only for the expansion to the Karnadri Shai Vishnu, Garbhadri Shai Vishnu and Shiro Shai Vishnu. They have the functional role. Whereas this Anuruddha, Pradyumna and the spiritual world, they are not worried about controlling the mind or controlling the intelligence. They are enacting the pastime. In that sense, they don't have any connection. They don't have any functional role. Yeah. Any other question?
You explained about the Kuta planet and how they have got 7 years.
Yeah.
And in the last year, where all the demigods in the Chandra, they are reached in the spiritual form.
Yeah.
So, the demigods who live in this material world, they are living in the planet. So, are they the extension of the spiritual form?
Not necessary. So, the demigods in the spiritual world, they are for the pastime to the Lord. Where Vaikuntha, demigods come, they pay their obeisances, glorify the Lord. So, the devotees, they assume the form of different demigods for the sake of pastimes. So, that is the spiritual world. Whereas the Indra in the material world is a position that position is occupied by qualified jiva. So, an Indra could be Indra in this lifetime, but that Indra's, that jiva who is occupying the position of Indra, his actual position in the spiritual world could be anything. Yeah.
And also, you mentioned about different persons inside in different layers. So, like we read also in Krishna book, when Arjuna and Krishna go to see Mahavishnu, there are all the prayers personified. You know, we have the verses of, you know, Parashya Shakti, there's all the different energies also standing behind the side of Krishna. So, I'm just curious to know, like, where there is side of Krishna.
Oh, there are. In the Vaikuntha, there are personification of Vedas. They are glorifying the Lord. They are present. Samaveda personified is standing there and glorifying the Lord constantly in the inner core of the Vaikuntha planet. So it's there in the Vaikuntha. They are there in person. I think Samaveda personification is there right in the center. Yeah. Because the Lord is hearing the glorifications. Yes.
You're talking about the demigods.
Yes.
They are in the seventh covering of the spiritual world, Goloka
Vrindavan. Not Goloka Vrindavan, this is about Vaikuntha.
Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
So, is the seventh covering a part of Vaikuntha?
Yeah, it's part of Vaikuntha. All the coverings are part of Vaikuntha.
Then that's a part of the spiritual world. But
they are not demigods. They are devotees of the Lord in their spiritual form. They are not the demigods of this material world. So that's why they are residing. And then outer there are doorkeepers. Jaya Vijaya, Bhadra Subhadra, you know, Chanda Prajanda. They are all different gatekeepers of Vaikuntha planet. So the incident, the Kumaras incident took place at the western gate to Vaikuntha. You know, Kumaras cursing and the Jaya Vijaya. It happened at the western gate to Vaikuntha. There are the Jaya Vijaya present.
Like you were talking, you said that out of the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, you told that Sankarshan was Mahavishnu and Pradyumna was Vadhyavakshya Vishnu and Aniruddha was Shiradaksha Vishnu.
Yes.
Then what does Vasudeva do?
Oh, he is the Lord, he is the worshipable Lord. Who we. He is the relationship that we are trying to establish, that is with Vasudeva, in other words, to Krishna directly. Not, you know, that is our aim, not to Mahavishnu, Garbhakasya Vishnu, Rishi Vishnu, ultimately to Vasudeva. And ultimately that source of Vasudeva is Krishna. So to Krishna. He is the Lord of the source. You know, there others are of the different elements, Lord of different elements, but the Lord of the soul, Atma, that is Vasudeva. It's a good question. What's the role of force there? Yes.
This is a very good point that we have to not act on the materialists and just neglect them. But is it not acting much more frustrating than
That's the reason. It's a good question that we may neglect our desires or the mind. So that is not acting, and whether it can be more frustrating than acting on it. Yeah, of course. That is the trick of the mind. So we neglect and we engage. Both have to happen. Only neglect is insufficient. If you neglect, what happens? According to psychology, it's called amplification. Amplification of the desire. So you put aside one desire. No, I will not do it. You keep it aside. And after some time, it will come out with, you know, double or triple or 10 times forceful. And you can't do anything with that. It's amplification. So neglect is important, but engagement also has to go along. So engagement means, say for example, mind is really disturbed, then just neglect is not enough. We start chanting Hare Krishna, there is engagement or engage in devotional service, then after some time we actually feel, you know, the mind is not giving us so much of trouble. It happens. Morning get up, you know, mind is really going everywhere and, you know, overall disturbed from the previous night, whatever reason. Attend Mangalari, we start chanting, or just engage in devotional service, mind calms down. Mind gets sick of being agitated after some time, because now it's engaged in Krishna service and it calms down. So engagement, neglect and engagement. Neglect is also very important. I'll just read one sentence from Prabhupada's purport in the fifth canto. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered. Hyphen. Neglect. Neglect. So that is neglect. But neglect and engage, both are important. Yes?
Just the way of neglect actually works is like sometimes we neglect it, then after some time we have to be like, the way because the mind neglects to like desire
yeah.
and give up, and some people might not just have to come with some and you know that.
Yeah.
Really
yeah, some of the, that's right, some of the desires, if you neglect it, it actually goes away. If they are not very forceful, then it can go away. That happens. And it actually becomes our habit formation also. That is, we keep neglecting, then after sometimes it doesn't propose. So that is out of the system. Okay.
At what stage does neglect should take place? Should it be like sinking, feeling, and being? In which stage?
Earlier the better. The question is, in which stage? One should neglect the mind at the stage of thinking, feeling or willing. You know, at the stage of willing, to neglect that, it is difficult. Yes or no? I want to, I'm going to do it. No, I will not do it. So difficult it is, isn't it? So difficult. At the stage of willing, it's practically impossible to neglect. And feeling is also very dangerous. Sense gratification, you feel it. You are experiencing. You are deriving pleasure within. It's a very strong feeling, is very strong, very strong aspect of sense gratification and devotional service. Very important. Emotions are very important in sense gratification and devotional service. In sense gratification, it becomes very crucial because all the plannings are based on feelings. I will get this and enjoy in this way. If I have that house, oh, it's going to be wonderful. You know, it's all this one after another. If I have money, I'll do such and such thing. These are all based on emotions, a feeling. So, the stage of feeling, it becomes even harder to neglect. One can, of course, with the intelligence, one can neglect. Then, thinking is easier is at the stage of thinking because it's just a thought. Thought, when we develop attachment, that becomes emotions. If we don't have any attachment to something, we don't have any emotion to that. Right? A person is going the street or, you know, so many people are getting killed in some part of the world. We don't have so much of emotion for that because there is no attachment. So, just a thought, when there is attachment is invested, that turns into emotions. And once the emotions and experience is there within, then one wants feeling. One, okay, I want it or I don't want it. This is the earlier the better. One can stop at the thinking stage. Don't, what happened? Dhyayato vishyan pumsa. Sangasteshu abhijayate. Just by thinking, dhyayata, contemplating on the sense objects, what happens? Sangasteshu abhijayate. One develops achayatman. Then sangha sanjayate kamam. When there is attachment, then kamam, there is emotion. That is, I want it. Kamam is a desire, strong desire. And then I want it. Both feeling and willing develops there. And kamat krodho abhijayate. And one cannot get it. Why can't I get it? become angry. So earlier the better. Okay. Okay, one more question.
How do we know what which desire to neglect and which desire not?
Okay, that's a very important question. What desires to, how do we know what desires to accept and what to neglect? You can read Bhagavad Gita. Whatever is there, you can do. What your parents are doing, you can do. Not to neglect. Whatever your teachers are telling, not to neglect. You understand? Any other desire come opposite to that, you can understand that need to be neglected. Clear? Because what Krishna says, what your parents are saying, what your teachers are saying, that not to be neglected. That to be followed. And whatever mind tells opposite to that, that can be neglected. Make sense? Mind will tell, don't do homework, don't come for Bhagavatam, that can be neglected. Mother says, oh, go for Bhagavatam, then go. That to be followed. Okay. Thank you very much. Yadrashyam Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada.